Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, Welsh Forest Focus, and miserable afternoon for Nottingham Forest as they lost 1-0 at Brighton today. Yes, we will talk VAR and we will talk a terrible goal conceded because this is Forest, but most definitely we will also talk about team selection, tactics and substitutions in the company of, first of all, Emily Anderson. Emily, good evening. How are you?
Not great. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Not feeling too good, I'm afraid.
No, none of us are. We're normally, I've had all three of us normally pretty positive, but it's not going to be like that this evening, I'm sure. And joining us to make his podcast debut with the most thankless substitution task in football, coming on for Mark Southern's, which means you're coming on to talk about a defeat probably, is Greg Oram. Greg, you've been a regular supporter, so it's good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Yeah, firstly, thanks for having me on. It is really lovely to join you both. I wish it was under a different result, of course, and I'm feeling as deflated as both of you. I know we're going to get into it and pick it all apart and the comments will be flying in and social media's been melting down already. So I'm feeling a bit better than I did a couple of hours ago. I can say that much, though.
We'll kick us off, Emily, just general thoughts, and then we'll break it down in detail, as Greg says.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, really questionable team selection. Before the game, I was struggling to understand why some of our most attacking players were left on the bench and Elanga, Taiwo Awoniyi, Callum Hudson-Odoi. But as I said in our podcast chat, I trust Nuno. He clearly knows what he's doing. Maybe he's thinking that once the Brighton players tire after their heavy defeat in Roma, then we bring on the big guns and we end up winning the game 1-0. And that's kind of how I went into the game when I saw the team selection. But barring, I think, the first 5 minutes, the first half, we might as well not have even been on the pitch. Brighton were average in the first half. We gifted them a goal. Gave away stupid fouls. It didn't get too much better in the second half when I assumed that after a half-time team talk, that I hope was a severe telling off. I wanted you to use a swear word then, but I resisted. I assumed that maybe those big guns would be coming on to start the second half. No, when they did, the formation didn't work. Nothing really changed. Taiwo Awoniyi was struggling to get into the game. Sangare was non-existent. Elanga tried, but couldn't get anywhere. We missed so many. Well, we didn't have so many chances. Every chance we had, we missed. And they seemed to fall to Origi. And I feel like a player on form would have buried some of those goals. And I, for the first time this season, I'm struggling to find any positives from that game. And I just feel like we are for the taking against Luton. And it's a real worry.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many worries that come out of that game. And, you know, I don't find any positives. We'll talk about the second half in detail, but I thought that was pretty rubbish as well, really. Let's start with team selection then, Greg. I said to people in the WhatsApp groups and chats, if we lose this game, Nuno's going to be in the spotlight. And I think he certainly is in the spotlight. What did you make of it, and to what degree do you think it cost us if you do think it was wrong?
Well, when I first saw the team, I was surprised. I think everybody was probably surprised because we were expecting the front four that we have been so successful with on counters, Hudson-Odoi, Langham, Gibbs-White and Awoniyi. So to see Wood start was very positive. Nilo was saying in the press conference just the other day, just before the game, that when he was asked about Tyro, that Tyro was probably played too much football. And I think he probably did come back a bit earlier than planned and got through on adrenaline. But he certainly dropped off, and that has shown. So to see Chris Wood back in the side was a fantastic positive. But then to kind of switch to having Nico Dominguez coming in on that left side, where he has played well, sticking with Origi on the right, I bought into it. I said, OK, fine. I could see what he was trying to do, and I bought into that team selection and was positive about it and thought, OK, we have got an absolutely fantastic-looking bench. We can get into Brighton, who are going to hopefully have a hangover following the 4-0 defeat in the week, coming from Rome. So I was feeling quite positive. So maybe it was the right team, but it was just a bad performance. And had it come off, had we come away with a 0-0, then maybe we wouldn't be feeling quite so disappointed. But it was those silly challenges again that crept back in. Against Liverpool, they seem to have cut them out quite a bit. But silly challenges again going on in our half that were costing us. I mean, Omar Bamidele, if I'm honest with you, I think he was lucky not to get a second yellow for that challenge that they scored from. And of course, it looks like a bit of karma. They score from it, and it's a poor bit of goalkeeping, possibly. I think he could have done better with that. I'm not going to let Sells get off on that one. And it goes in off the back of Omar Bamidele's head. So it was just a bizarre goal to concede. But we had been asking for it. We're giving away free kicks. Gross is whipping them in. He's stacked up a load of assists this season. So it was almost like we were making the same mistakes today as what we were making when we played against West Ham at the London Stadium, allowing James Ward-Prowse free reign with dead balls. And Pascal Gross is very, very dangerous. So I was really disappointed with how we set up in that first half. The shape wasn't there. The Dominguez yellow card possibly had an effect on how he played thereafter. It wasn't his best game. And like you said, I was expecting changes from the half-time. Well, I don't know why he waited. I think there were some questionable decisions from the very start. It's easy to look back and say, oh, the team was all wrong. I can't say that I was saying that before the game. I was trying to buy into what he was trying to do and hopeful that that bench was going to be the difference. And it wasn't. And that's why I came away feeling so disappointed. We had a couple of chances, but yeah, Origi, he's the man that you want, perhaps you don't want, rather, on the end of that. You want Alanga, perhaps, or Hudson-Odoi, he can definitely finish. So, yeah, feeling really disappointed, and it might come back to bite us.
I think the thing I didn't understand, Emily, I could sort of see some logic in the team selection to an extent. Mm. I thought it was too negative because Brighton had lost 4-0 their previous game. And I felt this is a big time. I felt like it was a real opportunity for us. And we were so negative, and we ceded the whole thing to them when we should have gone out and got at them. And it was like a library, that ground. There was no atmosphere. Mm. We could have made it even worse and really put Brighton on the back foot, and we didn't do that. But the only thing I didn't like about the team selection particularly was Elanga not playing, because we had no pace, no out ball. Poor Chris Wood. I think he's getting a bit of stick in the comments. I thought he was all right and he had no service. But just was the way we set up completely wrong, Emily? Because it seemed so inevitable we were going to be on the back foot throughout that half.
Well, of course. Alanga's one of our most creative, threatening, attacking, fastest players. And he sat on the subs bench till the 50-odd minute or whenever it was that he came on. Also, the centre-backs were wrong. And I said this the other day. You know, I think Bamidele and Murillo are great players. Murillo had a decent game today. But they're both young. They're early 20s. They need someone with experience at the back with them in games like this, whether it's a Boli, a Niakati or a Felipe. And honestly, I really think that cost us today, those silly mistakes at the back. But, you know, looking at it in hindsight, yes, the team selection was wrong and nothing seemed to work today. Why on earth didn't we start with the team that ended the Liverpool game? Because we took Liverpool, one of the best teams in Europe, probably up there with Man City these days, and we took them to 0-0 up until the 97th minute. Yet today, we decide to tinker with the formation in a game that we really should be getting something out of. It's not the game to do it. And I'm sorry, I think, you know, we'll probably talk about the red card. We can blame that. We can blame poor refereeing decisions. But I'm fed up. I'm fed up of us narrowly missing out on games by a goal. And it was okay when we were scoring goals, but we're not even scoring goals now. So we're defending pretty averagely. We're conceding pretty average goals. And we're losing to teams yet again that haven't had to come out of second gear. It's so frustrating. And I feel so sorry for all the fans that have gone down to Brighton today. That horrible journey down there in this miserable weather, and they've seen that. I mean, it's just not fair.
Yeah. I mean, we've been very supportive of Nuno on this podcast. The only game where we've really gone for him, to an extent even, was Villa away, when Niakate kind of blew up in his face and he changed it at half time. But I think that's two away games now, Greg, in a row, where I feel like the manager, especially today, has been a decisive factor in a negative result. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Am I wrong? That's a terrible question for us.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to team selection. And the Villa game, putting Niakate at left back when Toffolo's on the bench, was a disaster. And it's clear as day that that's on the manager. And going into this is our next away game, isn't it? We played Liverpool last game. Yeah. So our next away game. And we haven't been great on the road. It's in the whole of the Premier League. Let's remember that. So we'll come on to the games remaining shortly. But when we're going away from home, picking up points is not easy for Nottingham Forest. So Emily's absolutely right. Why are you changing the team that put up such a fantastic performance last Saturday to a team that no one expected to take out your most potent weapons? And we've been a counter-attacking side. We have scored the most goals on the break in the Premier League. We're not at the top of the charts on many other positive things, but we are top of the charts on scoring goals from breaks and counter-attacks. So it clearly is a weapon for us. We've scored early in games, and we've also scored in injury time of first half a few times as well. So we score important goals at the right time. Let's not forget that we touched on Origi having that chance just after they scored. And it's a different game if he puts it away. And then there's the Wood shot in the second half. Their keeper makes a good save. Chris Wood got a very good connection on that and did better than I thought he was going to do. But other than that, I think Emily was saying the chances were very few and far between. Mm. So you go back to the team selection and you think, well, actually, yeah, and hindsight is a wonderful thing. Let's remember that. But you do think, you know what? He's not really normally a tinker man, Nuno. You normally know what you're going to get with him. And I feel that maybe he's trying to shuffle his pack a little bit unnecessarily. He left Sangare out again, which earlier on in the week on the podcast that you guys were doing, I think he was in most people's team to come back in. I think he was being talked about to come back in to start. And I'm feeling very negative about Sangare. I think that he's going to be out the door in the summer, even if we stay in the Premier League. I don't think he fits into the club. I don't think he's positive. I think we're missing Mangala more than ever. It now, in the cold light of day, seems a very strange decision to let him go and keep what we've got, because I think Mangala will be making a difference and Sangare is making none.
Yeah, I mean, that was not a good cameo. And it was typified at the end where he's just kicking Gross in the back. You know, we're trying to get out. We're deep in stoppage time. We're such a naive team. I mean, you know, I think that's another one of the many issues. And I don't know, do you think Brighton were there for the taking, Emily? We'll get into some specifics soon, but it just felt to me like they were. The thing is, and this is another one thing that annoys me, how many teams have had to play over like 80% of what they can do to beat us? I don't think Brighton got out of third gear, and that really pisses me off.
Yeah, no. And they on paper today, they were 100% for the taking because of that heavy defeat in Roma, and they've had some dodgy Premier League results as well. And I know they've only lost one game at home all season, but they have had a bit of a tricky time with things. And during the game today, they weren't anything special. And I think the Brighton fans will probably say, had Forrest turned up today, we could have got something out of the game. But I'm struggling to find a single player that I'd think, you know, they gave it their all today. You know, even Nico had a quiet game for him. Murillo was okay before we conceded the goal. I thought, Matt Sells seems quite confident in goal today. He made a few decent saves. But I just feel like we could have gone on for 130 minutes today and I still don't think we'd have created enough chances to be able to score and put a goal in the back of the net. There was not one moment that I was up going, there wasn't, we didn't have that today, did we, at all. And like I say, Chris Wood's chance actually was a decent chance and he did really well with that. And, you know, maybe another day that may have gone in, but God, I'm trying.
I don't think it would have been the plan either to bring Taiwo Awoniyi on and keep Chris Wood on as well. No. I can't imagine that was in the game plan. It would have been, we'll play Chris Wood, he'll go off, Taiwo will come on, we'll play with our regular formation and shape. We seem to go 4-4-2 in the second half. Then it seemed to go 2-3-1. It was ever-changing and substitutions being made. I mean, Kiyate coming on for Gibbs White was an interesting one. I can only imagine that was because Morgan was probably feeling fatigued. But with 10 minutes to go and then the injury time, which was just a complete waste of time as far as concerned, was with the end of the ball. But yeah, you know, it just, you're right, we could have gone on forever and ever and ever and not scored today. And they got a sneaky goal. I call it a sneaky goal. It just felt they didn't really do much with that. It was our own fault. And they didn't like scoring much beyond that. So had it finished 0-0, we probably would have come away feeling we've nicked a point, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah. I mean, I know some people in the comments are probably saying we're overreacting, but there's 10 games left now and we have to grab our own opportunities and we have to play well. And there's ways to lose games. We could have lost that game 1-0 and the tone could be completely different. But if we play like that, we're going to go down and we're going to deserve to go down. It'll be entirely our fault. It won't be referees' fault. It won't be VAR's fault. Points deductions probably won't help us. But we've got to play better than that. Mm. And that's rubbish.
I very rarely negative about, particularly about Forest, and I can always find a positive, and I think Matt can attest to that. I will always find the positive, any of the players, the manager. And honestly, today was bad. I was so proud of the Forest lads last week against Liverpool. I was angry, but I was so proud of that performance that they put in, bar that last bit at the end. But today, I just felt like no one was playing for the shirt. No one was actually putting their neck on the line. And that's exactly what we should be doing at this stage in the season. And believe, you know, we all want Forest to stay up. None of us want Forest to go down. But we've got to get something out of those games and we've got to give it 100%. And if we don't give it 100%, why the hell are those players on the pitch?
Mm. I mean, we could have gone 15th today. That's another thing. Mm. I didn't expect us to go there and win. I think that was a difficult task, but I think we could have gone there and got a point. Like you saw Luton scraped a point. I watched that game yesterday. Luton scraped a point. They weren't that good. Liverpool, Everton lost. Brentford lost. They actually played quite well. Thomas Frank was funny at the end, moaning about refs. But it was such an opportunity for us. And that's what annoys me. Just talk through the goal, Greg, then. I mean, it felt like it had been coming in terms of set pieces. We hadn't defended them particularly well. I saw a goal from Notts County at the weekend, which, you know, wasn't any better particularly. You know, is that all on us? Forest were complaining about there should have been a foul. I couldn't see one. What about you?
No, there was nothing to complain about. I think there was more wishful complaining than anything else. Mm. But going back to the tackle, Omar Bamidele goes in and fouls their man. Lucky not to get a second yellow. But I'm confused as to why he's put that type of challenge in, because their player wasn't even trying to cross the ball. He was actually sweeping it backwards to someone. So it felt like a bit of an unnecessary challenge to make, especially in that danger area. And it goes back to what we've been doing all season, was conceding stupid free kicks and silly areas. And it puts us under pressure because we're not very good at defending, or haven't been very good at defending set pieces. So when the ball comes in and it drops into the goal, I was with my son and my dad watching it, and we just looked at each other and said, has that gone in? It was just bizarre. It's like, and then because the Forest players were all complaining, I said to my dad, oh, it's going to be ruled out. There must have been an elbow in there, because Sells looked like he was coming for it and he was going to clear it. And I said, he must have had an elbow in there somewhere. He must have had someone pulling his shirt or something. And we looked at the replay and we all said, no, that's a goal. No argument. So, yeah, it was just a bit of a funny goal to concede. We could have scored straight away, as I said before, with Origi. But on the set pieces, again, just quickly, whilst we're on that topic, our own set pieces are absolutely awful. We don't do anything with our own set pieces when we are trying to score a goal. So whatever is going on at the club in terms of defending a set piece or when we're attacking the set piece, in terms of having a shot on goal or trying to be creative with something, we're non-existent. We're not even there. And I said to my dad as well, these are the kind of danger areas. We had a few free kicks in their kind of dangerous final third just outside the penalty box. And I said, under normal circumstances, I would be thinking, right, this is a really good place. We could score from here. But I knew we didn't have anything up our sleeve to conjure up. And I just knew we weren't going to score. So bad at defending set pieces, bad at our own set pieces when on the attack, a bad goal to concede. Sells did make a good save from an earlier set piece when Gross put one in and it got flicked on. But yeah, defensively, very bad. Now, Omar Bamidele, he's got to take the blame for that, because that was a needless free kick to give away.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. I mean, I defended our set pieces in the week, saying they're not so bad attacking-wise. They just don't have variety. They were rubbish today. Mm. I mean, like, we've hired Mark Vattenberg for marginal gains, and this is a different topic. But set pieces, Emily, are not marginal gains. They're like a massive part of the game. And we've spent the whole season being absolutely rubbish at them. I mean, how can we not be addressing it? Get somebody as a consultant or something.
And we get plenty. We had plenty today, didn't we? Murillo even took a free kick at one point. It unfortunately went straight down the keeper's throat. But I can't fathom how we are not a threat at free kicks. And a bit like Greg said, when we get them, particularly today, I was like, yeah, so what? Free kick on the edge of the box? Yeah. It'll either go into the wall or, it'll go over, it will go wide. You know, I can't get my head around it because Morgan Gibbs-White is a really good creative player. He's got all those facets that we know. He's a great finisher. And we've got Callum Hudson-Odoi, who knows how to strike a ball. Murillo clearly showed today he can strike a ball too. We've got a good headers of the ball in Chris Wood today. Yet it just never seems to connect. The dots never seem to connect. Corners are a perfect opportunity, aren't they, to take advantage in a game. Yet every corner we have, you know, it's not going to amount to anything. And I can't work out what's going wrong because, you know, as much as I feel really cross with all the players today, our best starting 11, that starting 11 that I wanted to start, should have been more than a match for Brighton. We've got talented players. And I think if talented players are playing in the correct positions, that's a really good point, in the really correct positions, then, you know, we should have done something with those set pieces today. I felt like, I think you mentioned it, Greg, like Dominguez out on the left. Why is he there? Put him where he's good. Put him where he knows how to play. And sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but I just feel like everything went wrong today and set pieces was just kind of another part of what went wrong.
Yeah. Or don't like against Man United. Go on, Greg, sorry.
Sorry, I just wanted to say as well, when it comes to the Brighton team, they've got a lot of very key players out as well. Mm. I mean, they were an understrength Brighton side. And we had an opportunity to play probably our full strength team. We've had players missing for different reasons this season, but with that bench and the players that started, we had an opportunity to play arguably our strongest team. Maybe Aina and Tavares might be a better left back, but arguably we could have played our strongest side, and every point matters now. Every point matters. So going back to what you asked before, Matt, about the team selection, I think when you look at it like that, then it's a bit of a clanger from Nuno Espirito Santo.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Dominguez had done all right against Man United in that role, but I thought he set the tone in a negative way. And I don't know if he's fully fit, so I'm not going to be too critical of him.
I think
he just gave silly fouls away.
Yeah, and he got an early yellow, didn't he, as well, which I think can change a player's game. And we actually got
a bit of a harsh yellow as well.
Yeah. And Nico got one in the first half as well, didn't he? So that kind of changes, I think, how the risks a player's prepared to take in a game. So I don't think that helped. And I think Dominguez is great. I don't necessarily think he was playing in the right place today.
No, because Nuno came in. He was really positive. Like, we went and attacked games. We stripped it back to, you're the players. Here's what you're good at. And now it just feels like these last couple of away games, we've regressed to, these are our weaknesses. Let's cover them up. And that's what Steve Cooper did. And I hope it's just a thing in isolation, because we've got a massive game next week against Luton and we can't mess it up again like we did. So, yeah, that's a big worry. We'll just take a quick break to let my blood pressure go down for the next 15 seconds. And this isn't people asking about my drink. It's not wine or anything. It's just Ribena, but it needs to be something a lot stronger. So we'll see you on the other side. Is that wine?
Yeah, it's a spritzer. Spritzer's fine.
Here we go. Steve Allen does make a good point in the comments about Luton playing Bournemouth before us. We'll touch on that before the end, Steve, about that game and our game against them next Saturday. Back to this one, Emily. I mean, I was saying after like 25 minutes, we need to take a midfielder off and get Elanga on. And I'm sure other guys were coming up with suggestions for what we need to do at half time. And you said it was like baffling that nothing changed at half time. I suppose we did start the second half better, but you've said here, we didn't really hurt them though, did we?
No, I actually thought we did start. So I was disappointed when we didn't make any substitutions at half time. But actually, the first 5-10 minutes or so, I thought actually maybe he's told them off enough to try and get something out of this. And there were a few chances where we could have scored, but obviously we didn't capitalise. And ironically, it almost seemed to go wrong when the better players came on. Because like you say, it wasn't the formation we'd expect, keeping Wood on, bringing Ty on two up front. Ty won't be used to that. Chris Wood certainly isn't used to that. So it just never seemed to work. The oddest substitution for me was taking Gibbs White off for Chukwuemeka at the end. And I know you were saying he looked a bit leggy, but reading his body language, he didn't want to come off and he was very upset to have come off. And I think, as we know with Gibbs White, he'd be walking wounded and he'd still be on that pitch. And we lost any creative spark that we had as soon as he'd gone off the pitch. Not that we had much to begin with, but I just thought that was a really odd substitution to make. And the second half, I guess, just petered out, didn't it? Brighton didn't really have any threats, particularly in the second half. But then again, neither did we. And we had all these opportunities. I think Callum Hudson-Odoi's free kick on the edge of the box was in the one he won was in the second half. But I just couldn't see us scoring today. And there was obviously the red card that we haven't really talked about. When I first saw it, I was umming and ahhing, saw the VAR replay and thought, yes, that's a red card. And I was for about a minute really angry, thinking, oh, yet again, we've been undone by the refs and this is a terrible decision. But actually, had he been sent off, would we have scored? Probably not. And I think you mentioned this, Matt. We've got to stop hiding behind these bad refereeing decisions. We've actually just got to focus on our game, because bad refereeing decisions happen in every game. And I know that we sometimes feel we're hard done by, but I just don't think it would have made. I don't think it would have possibly made a difference today, because we just didn't. We didn't have that finish that we've had before.
Yeah. Well, let's expand on that then. I mean, I thought Estupinan was really struggling and Origi didn't cash in. And I wish Elanga had started to cash in, but Elanga wasn't so good when he came on. I thought was really good when they came on was Lallana, who I just thought dictated the game. And they played the game out and they didn't really need to go for us. So, yeah, we could have got a 0-0, but Brighton were in front and Brighton were dictating it. And that's why I thought it put a slant on the game where they didn't even have to play that well. They just managed it well. Right, the red card incident then, Greg. Moda on Nico Williams. What was your take on it?
In real time, I didn't quite get enough of a view to have an opinion, as possibly didn't the ref, which was why he kept his card in his pocket for a while. And he probably did the right thing, just having a think about what happened. And when it happens very quickly, or maybe in an angle that you can't quite see when you're a referee, then that's why VAR is there, because you can give a yellow card, and it got reviewed, rightly so. And once it got reviewed, and then we were getting a look at it in slow motion and all the angles, I was astonished that he wasn't sent over to the screen to have a look at that again. Absolutely disgusted, because if that isn't a red card, then I don't know what is. I'm not saying I wanted a red card because we'd have gone on to win the game and that was the reason why we lost. But for that case in isolation, and for the whole reason as to why we have VAR in our game, it had to be a red card. Both feet left the grass. He was flying through the air and he had his foot up with the stud showing, and he crashed into Nico's ankle. And the commentary on the game I was watching fully agreed, fully said, that's a leg breaker. Now, Nico could have been seriously hurt. So I'm astonished that was not given as a red card. You're right, we probably wouldn't have gone on and scored, but at the same time, you never know. It's fine margins, there's that phrase that we all hate. It's fine margins, it's small differences, it's something to turn a game, because you never know, that red card gets shown, all of a sudden they're taking a step further back in their half. Those amazing Nottingham Forest fans are lifted in that stadium. And they're thinking, right, this is our chance now to not only get a goal, but maybe go on and win the game. So those kind of moments can have a huge effect on any football match. And yeah, we've felt very, very aggrieved on a lot of games. It always seems to be a decision that we're not happy about. And Mark Clattenburg has definitely come to the right club if he wants to get involved on having conversations with referees, because it seems to be happening week in, week out. So, yeah, I'm not blaming it on the defeat, but as in isolation, I'm disgusted that it wasn't a red card.
I've not watched many of the games, so I've seen bits of all of them, so maybe it happens today, but when was the last time a referee looked at a screen in a game you've seen? I'm really struggling to think, because this happened every game, multiple times. If people can drop this in the comments, when was the last time a referee was even sent to a screen to review a VAR decision? It's just a close shot to back up a referee's on-field decision. And that's why I said to you, Emily, in the thing, when you said, Greg Mitchell said, was it a red? And you said yes. And I said, I don't think it's going to be overturned. So it's probably not going to be. But the challenge is a red card one. But it's just another example of why VAR is just not working.
Yeah, and I think I said in response, well, if that's not a red, what's the point in VAR? Why stop the game? Why look at all those angles? Is that okay to do that then? Is that just a yellow card offence? You can put your studs up, you can potentially break a player's legs. It's really frustrating. The last time I remember it at the City Ground was when I think Yates, did that to the ref. And I think he did end up going over. And I just can't remember what game it was. It was a night game. But you're right. This season, I think the VAR and the on-field refs seem to have, less disagreement. They seem to be more agreeing with each other. It's just another case, isn't it? I heard Nuno and Morgan Gibbs-White were both interviewed after the games. I just saw it on the BBC Sport website, and both of them were talking about the red card and how frustrating it was, and that, you know, an apology from the PGOMOL is all well and good, but it doesn't give us points. But I think I still stand by the fact that, yeah, I think it would have given us a lift. I think that's a really good point, Greg, and it would have given the fans in the stadium a lift. But I don't know, you know, we'll never know. We'll never know, will we? But we won't. Yeah, it's just frustrating, really frustrating.
On the screen you were talking about, Matt, it feels like someone at the PGMOL, Howard Webb or whoever it is, it's almost like they're under instruction now, because something has definitely changed. Mm. Because when VAR first came into the Premier League, They never had to go over to the screen and have a look at all. It was always referred to VAR. VAR made the decision to go with on field and make a different decision, and that was that. And then they did a very deliberate change where they introduced referees going to the screen, and it made everyone feel a little bit more secure that the guy that's actually on the pitch reffing the game is the one that's going to make the decision. So it's there to be used. The screen is there. You can go to the screen. Michael Oliver went to the screen when we played, I think it was Brentford, when we had the penalty last season. And he was given, he was sent to the screen, and he could have, most of the time, when you're sent to the screen, you think, okay, they're going to overturn it. Mm. But Michael Oliver stuck to his decision, said, no, I've given a penalty. I've seen it on the screen, and I'm even now sure that it's a penalty. But if you're not going to send the referee over to maybe give himself a chance to have another look at it, then what is the point? Because if the VAR says, look, I want you to go and look at the screen, don't have to say anything else. Don't even pass an opinion. To say, we've had a look at it, we think you should go and have another look at it on the screen and make your mind up. That's all he's got to do. And then if he then decides, nah, it's not a red card, then okay, we can still be very upset about it. But at least we know that he's had that look. Because I'm not convinced that these referees are capable. There's so much incompetence throughout the referees, it's ridiculous. And I could go on and on and on. I'm starting to feel my blood boil a bit now. So I think I'm coming back into how I was feeling after the game. Because a lot of my anger was about that red card as much as it was about us losing the game the way we did.
Yeah. But for me, still, the big takeaway is it wasn't the biggest factor in defeat. And I know the headlines I've seen already, and people will send the screenshots saying the headlines are around VAR. And I understand why they are, but they shouldn't be from a Forest point of view. They should be, we haven't played well enough and we've got to do better and control what we can control. Mark said it last week. Refs are not going to do us any favours. We've seen that already. Eventually, you kind of hope that something will go our way. But maybe, like Greg said today about Omobamadeli, he could have got a red card, potentially. So, yeah, we've been screwed over again, but we just got to play better. It's as simple as that, really. Right, let's move on. I don't think there's much more to say about the game. I mean, like, even in stoppage time, like you said, Emily, I never thought, or did you ever think we're going to score at any point?
No, because there are certain games, aren't there, that we've been in, and you feel like we're going to get something out of this. You could just sense that we're going to score a late equaliser or a late winner, or, you know, I know that hasn't happened for an awful long time, but today there was just nothing really. Yeah, and it's been a long time that I've felt like this. I just feel totally deflated and a little bit resigned today. I'm hoping by tomorrow that I'll feel a little bit better about it. And I think one last thing I wanted to say about the VARs and the referees, like you say, they're not going to do us any favours. There's no point in sulking about it. We've got to stop this sulking attitude. And I'm not blaming anyone for that because I've sulked about it and I'm really annoyed about it. I'm talking about this as all. What we've got to do is all that frustration and anger we've got over the VAR and officials, use it on the pitch, use it in the stands to get behind the team and hope that can get us over the line. Don't give referees an excuse to, you know, have these game-changing decisions. I just think it's just going to make us bitter and, it's just not going to help us.
I think you're right. I mean, hopefully... I'll be back tomorrow, obviously, and hopefully I'm in a better mood. But we'll be back at 1 o'clock with Kelvin, Greg Mitchell and Temps. I really want to hear Kelvin's take on it. He might lift me, but right now it feels down, but tomorrow is a new day. So let's talk just quickly, while I've got you guys here, thoughts on the Luton game. I suppose, Gregor, a lot of it, or some of it, depends on how the Luton v Bournemouth game goes on Wednesday. I mean, they could move level on points with us, which would crank up the anxiety even more, I guess, wouldn't it?
Well, we could start that game against Luton in the bottom three. If they win against Bournemouth, they will go above us on goal difference. We will be in the bottom three. And then, of course, I think we're expecting the points deduction verdict on Friday. I've heard that's the day before the Luton game as to if we're going to get any points off. So it's all happening at the end of this next week coming. But for the game itself, let's say that they get nothing against Bournemouth. Let's say that we don't go into the bottom three. That's going to be quite huge, I think, psychologically. I think for us, we need to think that it's in our hands. And at the moment, it is still in our hands. We've got 10 games left. Now, Nuno, when he first came in, over his first set of games, was averaging a point a game. If we take 10 points from our next on remaining 10 games, that's going to put us to finish on 34 points. Is that going to be enough? I'm not sure. I think that in our next 7 games, we could take 9 points. And then those last 3 games, Sheffield United, Chelsea and Burnley, I think we could take 7 points there. We could end up on 40. So I'm looking at our games left. I'm looking at how many points we might end up on. And at best, I've got us still on 40 points. So that makes me feel actually really positive. But I don't think Luton are going to get that many points. So next Saturday is quite possibly the biggest game of our lives. and I say that because if Luton are going to approach this like the cup final of all cup finals, their tails are up. Nothing does a team any better than scoring a last minute equaliser. I watched that game as well yesterday. Crystal Palace should have had 3 or 4, but Luton just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And Andros Townsend floats this delicious ball in and it gets glanced in, and all of a sudden they're walking away with a point. Now, these valuable points are valuable points, and we don't seem to be getting any at the moment. So we have to go into next Saturday, and it has to be treated as one of our biggest games ever because our Premier League survival is on the line. 10 games left. Our away form has been, as I said before, our away form has been just awful in the Premier League. So we've got to try and find a way to pick up points in niggly games away at Luton, away at Everton, Burnley and Sheffield United. It's not a given we're going to get points there, but it has to start on Saturday. Everything has to start on Saturday with the kind of performance and the kind of team selection that we can get some belief back into the club and back into the fan base for the last 10 games, or we are going to be sleepwalking into the Championship. And I tell you what, if we could sleepwalk and go back into the Championship, it would just be the most Forest thing in the world to be down there for another 23 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely...
Sorry, but that's how they feel about it. It's just when we go down, it's either with Forest, it's either very, very good or very, very bad.
Yeah.
That's been my life as a Forest fan.
Yeah, I mean, the notion that we could get relegated below the current bottom three, people are going to think I'm being disrespectful. But they're not very good. And if we go down, we are rubbish if we go down below them. Because, I don't know. I mean, is it the biggest game since Wembley, Emily? Next one.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Wembley. Yeah, absolutely. It feels, because Wembley felt more comfortable to me. I felt like we're always going to win that game. It feels as important to me as Sheffield United second leg, semi-final playoffs. It's that nervy for me. And it's actually quite a scary prospect. But I think Luton will probably go into that game as favourites. And like you say, they've got their tails up. They're grinding out results. They're not expected to win these games generally, so there's no pressure on them. If they can get something against Bournemouth midweek, if we get some points deducted at the end of the week, then again, that all works in their favour. But I just think we need to... Once we've finished licking our wounds from today, it's backs against the wall. It's the Forest that played against Arsenal last season. It's the Forest that ground out results against Liverpool, against Chelsea, against Brighton, against Southampton. We have to be that Forest. I know the personnel's different, but we have to have that attitude. And we have to go into that game, no stone left unturned, everyone giving it 100%. I want every single player is walking wounded coming off that pitch at the end of the match and knowing that we gave everything to get 3 points against Luton. Because as Greg says, Saturday is the start of our survival proper. And if we can't beat Luton on Saturday, I fear the worst. I do not want us to be what Leicester were last season. Leicester sleptwalked into relegation. Everyone kept saying, Leicester are too good to go down. You could argue Forest on paper are too good to go down. No team is too good to go down, and I do not want that to be us.
No, I mean, as you know, Oliver says in the comments, we aren't very good either. We wouldn't be in this mess. I think he's right, because the results prove it. I think the frustrating thing is we should have so many more points here and there, and we've just let ourselves down. We've missed opportunities. And I said this at the top of the show. We don't make teams play well to beat us. And that is really frustrating. And this is another game. Luton make teams play well to beat them, mostly. Burnley and Sheffield United are somehow picking up points, but I don't think, you know, I still think they're going to go. But I, like we're not even sleepwalking towards the bottom of the table at the moment. We're just, we're getting into a gentle jog and we're going to be sprinting if we lose to Luton. So,
do you not think, though, you talk about the fact we don't, teams don't need to play well to beat us. I would say that's the middle to lower teams. Against the likes of Liverpool and Arsenal, we seem to be able to put up a fight. Why can't we have that attitude in the games that we're maybe expected to get something out of? Because Arsenal beat us 2-1. It was narrow. It was a narrow defeat in the end, both at the Emirates and at the City Ground. Yet they've absolutely pummeled other teams. Why can't we have that same attitude when we go into these games against Luton, Sheffield United, Burnley, Brentford, Everton? That's the frustrating thing for me, is we just assume, oh, we're going to win this. No, we've got to go into every game like we're playing against the Liverpool.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Like Liverpool, we really fronted up. And you don't know what Forest is going to front up. And I mean, it wasn't like as bad as Villa in this one, but it wasn't good. Like if we were picking a man in the match or someone out of a six, over a 6 out of 10, I don't think there was anyone over a 6 out of 10. I thought Nico was decent, but no one was good today.
Murillo was okay. I thought Murillo was okay. I thought Sells was okay, barring the blunder for the goal. But other than that,
I thought Danilo didn't have a great first half, but he started to actually get into the game in the second half and then was taken off. So that, again, was a bit strange. You know, he was just starting to find a bit of flow. So that was another strange decision. But in terms, we've always seemed to play better against the better teams. It's been a theme again as long as I've been a Forest fan.
Yeah.
We always play better against the better sides. And the ones that are the so-called lower down division sides, we come unstuck, and it's just been something that's always happened. And that's got to stop. Luton deserve huge credit. They deserve huge credit. If we weren't stuck down there on the 17th and in that battle with them and safe, I'd be dying for them to stay in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I'd be loving every second of them doing what they're doing. You know, that's what I remember when I was a lad. Luton were in the First Division and the League Cup final against Luton. It's a great story. It's great that they're doing so well and they haven't spent loads and loads of money and, you know, and all that kind of jazz. But we've got to beat them. And it's, you know, I've got a friend who's a Luton fan, and I don't want to be having to have a conversation with him after next Saturday where they've won and we're really stuck in it.
Yeah.
Okay. How Forest would this be, right? Say Luton beat Bournemouth midweek. We get a points deduction. Luton beat us at the weekend, but then we go on a mega run and stay up anyway. That would be so Forest, wouldn't it? That we'd get, I don't know, like we beat Man City. You know, we can't beat Luton away, but we suddenly beat. But I don't want that, by the way. But that would be so Forest, wouldn't it? We'd be totally down and out, and then suddenly rise from. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Take that now.
Yeah, Luton are everyone's second team this season. It was us last season, but now everyone wants us to go down, and we just, you know, maybe even try and use that as a mentality thing. So we'll see. We are, I mean, last 60 seconds have been positive. I think the previous 44 minutes and 23 seconds were pretty downbeat, but we'll always try and end on a bit of an upbeat note. And Emily's right. There's still time. Right. Thanks very much, everyone who's joined us. Great to have 550 people with us. If you are new around here, do us a favour. Hit like, hit subscribe. You can become a channel member. You can give us a good review on iTunes. I keep reading them. It's great to see them, and Spotify as well. Really appreciate all that. So, yeah, good of so many people to join us on such a downbeat show. Really appreciate that. Any final words, Emily?
I just want to mention someone called Julie, who I know listens to the podcast. She won't be listening now, but she had an horrendous journey down to the Amex today. And Julie, a bit like me, is really positive Forest fan. And she sent this to the podcast group. I don't know if you saw this, Matt. I'm so angry. It took us 5 hours to get there. We were rewarded with that performance. Didn't understand the team selection. Thought Forest would come out fighting after the Liverpool came. Didn't seemed to care. And she said to me as a follow-up, she's normally really, really positive, but it really got her down today. So I said I'd give her a mention. Julie, I hope you've had a safe journey back by the time you listen to this. And hopefully Forest can pull it out of the bag against Luton. And I guess that's just to all the Forest fans that went down to Brighton today, whether they made a weekend of it or just went down for the day. It's horrible, isn't it? Especially on a grey, miserable day. And then you get that performance and you've got that horrible long journey back up to Nottingham. So safe journey back to everyone on their way back.
Yeah, and I think that sums it up. And you're right, Julie is a positive person. And it's interesting that we're all pretty positive and we are massively downbeat, which I think shows when it's bad, and it was bad today. So, yeah, I think that sums it up. Oh, as Ian McGee says, this can be my one, and I'm sure everyone. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, yeah. Now you look bad not saying Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Hopefully you had a better day than us if you don't like football. Which you don't. Right. Greg Oram, not Greg Mitchell. I almost said Greg Mitchell then. Any final words from you, Greg Oram?
Yes. I want to put a shout out to all those Forest fans as well, quickly, that made the journey to Brighton. We had a chance to go, actually. We had a chance to go down to the game. And because it was Mother's Day, the decision was taken not to go. So I need to say thank you and happy Mother's Day to my wonderful, beautiful wife, Evelina, because she has been superb as ever and allowing me to pop on and be part of the podcast tonight on Mother's Day. No problem whatsoever. She's absolutely wonderful. So I love her dearly. And she puts up with me. But also one other thing, I'm usually in the comments watching this. So it is surreal and wonderful and exciting to be on the podcast. It's like when you dream of playing for Forest, and all of a sudden you get a chance to go onto the Forest pitch. It's like I feel like that. I'm kind of getting a chance to step out from the crowd and, you know, put on a shirt and take part, and it's absolutely fantastic. But I am a member. I am a member of this stream, and the reason why I'm a member is because it's the best Forest podcast there is, and Matt has gone full time with this. And it's 6 podcasts a week, at least, I think, sometimes more, perhaps. But great guests, the variety of ex-pros and people like Emily who are in the industry and fans as well. And I just think that if you're watching like I watch all the time, sign up and become a member. It costs a couple of quid or £2.50 or whatever it is. It doesn't cost very much. And this is how Matt makes his living now. You've done so well, Matt, to just go all in. So you've got my undying support. And I hope a lot of other people now sign up, become a member now, push the button. Come on, you can do it. Because that's how these podcasts will keep getting made, with more great guests. So thank you for having me. It's been great. And happy Mother's Day to all of you. And we're going to stay up. Come on, we can do this.
Well, you're a fine man, partly for those words, but more so because you've really covered your ass with your wife by saying all that.
Don't worry. I should also say my son Orlando as well. He was very excited that I was coming on, so he might be watching with his mummy.
Well, shout out to Orlando as well. Good on him. Right. Yes, thank you very much. We shall leave it there. Emily's going to go and ring her mum, and I should better do that as well. I haven't even texted her yet, and it's 7:20. So thanks very much, everyone. Great. I know. It's terrible, isn't it? Good to have so many people with us. Back tomorrow at 1 p.m. Kelvin Wilson, Greg Mitchell and Michael Temple will be joining me, and then I'll work out the rest of the week from there and drop it in the comments. We shall then turn the page to Luton, and as Greg Mitchell says, we can do it. We can stay up. Today was rubbish, but tomorrow is a new day. So, Emily Anderson, thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers. Greg Oram, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You're fantastic.
Have a good evening, everyone, and we shall see you tomorrow.
Sports Social Podcast Network.